I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoor Podcast. We are on episode number 6 today, and we're really glad you're here. Rob, how's life been treating you?
You know, very well. I can't complain too much. It's been a little while since we were able to kind of cross wires and connect and do a podcast recording. I'm kind of excited to talk about some of the things that we've both been doing. So how's life been treating you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been busy. I feel like this time of year always gets a little crazy for everybody once school lets out and all of a sudden plans go a little haywire. I've been doing quite a bit of traveling. I was up in Iowa for a handful of days at the Iowa Scholastic Clay Target Program State Shoot. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that sounds exciting though.
Yeah, it's their SCTP Trap League is what it is. So they had about 2,400 kids shooting trap in Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're ever bored, look up Cedar Falls, Iowa Trap Club. They have 37 trap fields. It's phenomenal. If you've never seen anything like it, it'll blow your mind. So we were up there in the heat.
Yeah, sweating it out.
Yep, making connections up there with the Iowa DNR, and it was just pretty cool to see all these kids. They shoot 200 rounds in that league. So to see
200 rounds per shooter, kid. And there was 2,400 kids, and over what kind of time frame?
5 days.
Wow.
A lot of ammo was burned up that weekend. A lot of targets were shot.
And, you know, obviously a lot of gun safety. Because
yes.
I'm assuming that everybody walked away unscathed.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I made that comment almost every day I was there. I was like, man, I wish the news were here. I wish everybody that had any doubts about gun safety were here, because these kids were exceptionally safe, very skilled. And I mean, even the crowd, you could tell, had no hesitancy being there. It was really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, really cool. And rewind to last weekend, we were out at the Kansas Trap Association, where we had our high school clay target league state shoot. So we had about 1,000 kids shooting trap there. So lots of gunfire these past weekends. It's been really cool to see. We got
I hope you invested in some good ear protection.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on my company bill.
There you go.
We got to watch, this is the first time I ever witnessed anybody shoot 100 straight, but a Garden City high school athlete shot 100 straight, and that was pretty cool to see him come off the line grinning from ear to ear, and
fantastic.
He just wanted to start skipping away. It was pretty neat.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. What about you, Rob?
You know, I have got to spend my boys are home, school's out for the summer. And so we've done a fair amount of fishing. We always look forward to that. And over Memorial weekend, travel out to my old stomping grounds, my hometown of Logan, Kansas, and attended a memorial service for, it was actually my grandfather's first cousin. His name is Darryl Stanton. And his memorial was actually set up with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, with the memorial contributions going towards fishing clinics. So that was pretty fitting, I felt like. And, his grandson, Zane, put together a eulogy that really spoke to me. And I'm just going to read a little bit here for you. I think it's worth sharing. Yeah. It was impactful to me anyway. So again, this is Zane Hestine wrote this about his grandfather. And it says, I'm about 6 years old, maybe seven. If I had to guess, it was around this time of year. My grandpa eases his maroon square body forward into our drive. He shuts the doors. My brother's running towards him. And before Jake gets there, grandpa's already greeted him with a "what do you know, tiger?" He has on short sleeve, button up work shirt, a gold link watch, and of course he's laughing. If you knew Daryl, he was always chuckling, always this infectious laugh. I don't know what he's laughing about. Is it the arrival itself? Something that grandma said, something my sister said. Maybe he's laughing because he knows that in 1 hour we'll be going fishing, farm pond fishing. I look into the back of his truck and it looks like he's packed enough fishing poles to hit every piece of water within 500 miles. The bed of his truck always looks like it's loosely prepared for one good lifelong fishing trip. And anyway, it goes on to talk about that fishing trip and just other moments, you know, hand cranking ice cream on the porch and things like that, that I think as outdoor mentors that I think we found ourselves, like it or not, that's who we are. And we're trying to recruit other folks into the outdoors. And so that really spoke to me. And I just wanted to share that a little bit with you there.
Really cool. What a good testimony too.
Absolutely. Yep. So, you know, yeah, we've been catching some fish and getting ready for a family vacation coming up and just all that.
You guys did some kayak fishing, right? Over Father's Day weekend. Is that right?
Yep. For sure. I got my first kayak. I've, you know, spent a lot of time in a canoe and a little Coleman crawdad and various John boats over my life. But I got a kayak last fall with the hopes of doing some duck hunting out of it. And, that's definitely on the list for this fall. My oldest son has a kayak, and then we actually, bought one for my wife this spring. And my little guy, he's just 7. And so currently he's riding in the back end of my kayak and, it works out pretty good for him. You know, he doesn't have to paddle and he gets a fish on, he can just swing it around to dad and I get to unhook it, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a hard time finding kayaks? I know for a while they were running short everywhere with the COVID demand.
Yeah, that is still a thing. So
is it?
So we bought my wife's, I think through Facebook Marketplace, and mine actually I bought used from Cabela's. It was a return unit, but I was happy to find one, right? So
hey, as long as it doesn't have holes in it, it'll serve its purpose.
That's right. So yeah, lots of fishing, kayaking. It's been hot, you know, finally kind of cooled off. It's that time of year.
Yeah, I was at a little league game last night and kind of chuckled and thought, well, God finally turned on the AC for us one day.
right.
It was a solid 70 degrees and just beautiful.
Yeah, the humidity had been pretty brutal up to about the last day or two. So,
yeah, that's for sure.
So, Brittany, you know what? What's going on the Great Plains today?
Yeah.
What do our listeners need to be tuning into?
Well, it's squirrel season here in Kansas, so that's kind of exciting.
Absolutely.
It runs from about June 1 to February 28th. It's a real long season. And talking about squirrel season in other states, these guys kind of shake their heads and look at us like, what? I guess we have a pretty long season in comparison to a lot of other states around us. So in my opinion, that's just even more reason to take advantage of it. So if you're out casting a line and maybe you're tired of it or tired of doing yard work, you know, it's time to go chase some squirrels around. Be a good option.
Yeah. And you know, I've been a squirrel hunter practically all my life. That's part of how I cut my teeth learning to hunt. And I think you would find that if you didn't mind getting out, you know, in the cool part of the day right now, and tromping out to your local state park that has access, state lake area, you know, whatever public hunting area, you know, that allows designated hunting, find a hardwood stand.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to be about the only, you know, turkey season's over, deer season hasn't kicked off, squirrel's about the only thing open, and it's not going to be crowded.
Yeah, exactly. You'll
find a place to park. And you know, one of my favorite things this time of year is to throw the 22 rifle in a fishing pole, both into a canoe or a kayak or something, and float a creek or a river, some public piece of property that allows both fishing and squirrel hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get into a mess of them, man, jump out of the boat, settle down next to a tree, shoot a few, throw them in the cooler, get back in the kayak and go catch some fish.
Yeah, that's an ideal afternoon is what it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you typically go in the morning? Or are you an evening squirrel hunter?
You know, I find myself, I think maybe it has to do with age, but I find myself more and more going in the morning because I don't want to have to deal with all the end of the trip stuff in the dark.
Yes.
You know, it used to be that I was more of a night owl, and so I didn't mind that so much. But anymore, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I don't want to have to load my canoe back in the truck in the dark. I don't want to have to clean fish in the dark. I've gotten to where I prefer those activities in the morning. I don't know. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
I get pretty disoriented in the dark too. So I feel like I'd be right there with you, as I'd prefer to suffer the early morning and hang out all day in the daylight versus trying to find my truck at night.
Yeah, and you know, this time of year, I mean, heck, it's daylight by 6 a.m. So
yep.
You don't mind rolling out of bed, and then when it's, you know, 100 degrees, take a nap in the afternoon.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. You don't have to tell me that twice. Well, I'm excited because we'll have a pretty cool guest on later, just a couple episodes down the road here, Gabe Thurman, to talk about more or less squirrel hunting, the ins, the outs, how to do it, best techniques and stories and recipes. So you guys will have to keep in mind and tune back in when we have him on to hear more about squirrel hunting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's talk more fishing. Sure. You've been doing a whole lot of it lately, so I want to hear what you got up your sleeve here.
Yeah, you know, so fish with kids a lot. I would say probably 96 to 97% of my fishing is done with kids, which is terrific. But a lot of times that means you need some fast action, right? And the bluegill spawn, it might be starting to wrap out right now. It was pretty hot and heavy, at least where we've been last week. You know, we're in some clear water with some polarized glasses. You could see the nests and see where those males were defending their nests. And you talk about fast action, you know, if you take just a small slip bobber, and a small length of line between the bobber and your hook, a split shot and a small hook, you know, a size 8 mm-hmm. or 10 hook, you know, night crawlers, crickets, turn over a rock and find, some grubs another great bait for bluegills is Slim Jims. So,
really?
Oh yeah, Slim Jim beef jerky and a pair of scissors. You open that up and just nip off a little bit of that and thread that onto a small hook. And they have a hard time getting it off the hook. And so you're not baiting your hook as often. I would encourage anybody that's going to get out there after bluegills, get a fine pair of needle nose pliers or some forceps. Because they can be bad about swallowing the hook, and you know, we don't want to kind of gut hook or gill hook a bunch of fish if we can keep from it. And
yeah, absolutely.
But you talk about some fantastic fried fish or like fish tacos on the grill, you know, if mm-hmm. it's hot out and you don't want to fire up the fryer in the kitchen, but you got a grill, and put some aluminum foil on there and some olive oil and some taco seasoning with some bluegill fillets, and that's some pretty good stuff.
That does sound like good stuff.
Yeah. So
you know, kind of seems to me, for those who are just starting out fishing, the most scary part, right? If you can get over baiting your hook, right? That initial, ooh, I'm baiting my hook with something strange, right?
Right.
I think the most intimidating part is getting your hook off of fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
So curious how you would educate or encourage someone to go out there, because fishing to me is a sport that you can do in solitude really well. But if you don't know how to remove a fish off your hook, that can be also very intimidating. So do you recommend people watch a YouTube video, or do you have like a go-to way to resolve that issue?
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about that really.
Yeah.
And that can't, you know, I see. So recently, I was part of a fishing clinic out at the Madison Lake, and that was put on by the local Legion post in memory of a longtime sportsman of the area that passed away, and had a lot of kids out there, and we had like 30 plus kids come out to fish, and that was a common theme. Like, mm-hmm. how do I take this fish off? Where do I grab it? You know?
Right.
And you know, bluegill, panfish in general, they have that dorsal fin that's got those sharp little bones, you know, that come through the fin and they'll poke you. So
yeah.
So you want to have that pair of needle nose or forceps or whatever in your back pocket, or hooked on some kind of a lanyard hanging in your neck or something, so you don't lose them. But you can always grab those fish by the belly, right? And mm-hmm. you're not going to get poked, and get a firm hold on them. Now, if you yeah. are going to grab that fish to where, you know, your thumb is on the belly and your fingers are wrapped around the back, it's important, you know, to start with your little finger kind of between the eyes and slide it down their back. And what happens is you just lay that fin down and get a firm grip on them and you know, pop that hook out and then toss them back. So
yeah.
a little bit of practice and experience, but you know, I tell people for sure you can grab them kind of backwards to what's intuitive, kind of like grabbing a sandwich, only grab them by the belly instead
right.
of the back.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. That's a good way to describe it. And I was just thinking as you were describing that, how would I say this? And that's exactly how you would do it.
Yeah. So that, you know, the bluegill spawn is fantastic. They're going to start to move out to deeper water, if they probably already are starting to. I'm trying to think. I think it was on it was Father's Day. It was Sunday. And we got out for a little bit, and we definitely caught a few females that still had eggs that were ready. Mm-hmm. So, but this time of year, if you can catch a calm morning or an evening, you know, you go out to your local fishing hole and that water looks like a sheet of glass, man, it's top water time.
Yeah, cool.
It's, the first time you see a kid hook into a largemouth, and I don't care if it's a half pound fish or an 8 pound fish, and they nail a rubber frog or a Rapala or a rubber grasshopper, bass are not picky. So if you throw something out there that they think they can eat and they come up and just nail it on top of the water, oh man.
Yes.
Yeah, it smiles all the way around.
That's hard to duplicate.
Yeah, for sure. And right now, I mean, this from now till, oh man, till it starts to cool off in September, those largemouth, they got the feed bag on, and they are not, you know, they are the top dog in those bodies of water for the most part. You know, mm-hmm. there's some big channel cats and flatheads and stuff, but those bass are aggressive. Their metabolism's up, the water's really warm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of feed right now in the water, and they are just putting it to it. So one of my favorites is a floating Rapala jointed body.
Okay, break that down for me.
Yeah, so you've got about 3.5-4 inch long body. It looks like it's a hard bodied minnow, right?
Okay.
And it's got a front section and a back section, and they're hooked together with some metal pins, and there's a treble hook in the front, and there's a small treble hook in the back, and you tie it, and they make it that sinks and semi sinks and whatever. I this time of year I like those floaters.
Mm-hmm.
Either in blue and white or like a kind of an olive and white.
Mm-hmm.
And you tie that on to, you know, some 6 or 8 pound tests, and in an ultralight rig, and you go to a farm pond or your city fishing lake or a state lake, you know, wherever, and you get in an area where there's some bass that are holding in shallow water, along some lily pads, along the edge of a weed bed, a sunken tree, something like that, because they're going to hold and cover. They're a predator, right? So they're going to hide, waiting for prey.
Mm-hmm.
And you pitch that thing out there, and it's going to float, and automatically it just looks like a dying minnow, because that front section and the bottom section are just sort of on a hinge and they just move independent from one another. And the way I like to fish it is I'll pitch it out there and let it set until all of the rings from the impact on the water dissipate. Just let it sit there. And you'd be it's surprising how many times you'll think, well, there's nothing there. And you're just about ready to start to reel. Wham, the old fish will come up and they just swallow that thing, you know. But then, you know, once the rings on the water kind of move off, I'll just twitch it a couple times, reel a few cranks, let it set, twitch it a few times, reel a few cranks. And when they do hit it, man, it is fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you paint a pretty good picture there of how it should be done.
Yeah. So, you know, hula poppers are pretty famous. And, you know, if you get out there, I'd encourage guys, if they have it, and ladies, I guess anglers, guys, kind of, you know, all encompassing for anglers. Get out there with a fly rod if you haven't had a chance. Stop at your local bait shop and don't drop a lot of money on one, but you can get a fly rod for, you know, south of $40 with the rod, the reel, a handful of flies, the line, the whole thing. And this time of year, you know, you can put on a pair of Crocs or, you know, flip flop, some kind of sandal that's, you know, is not waterproof, but it, you know, water's not going to hurt them. Pair of swim trunks and wade out a little ways, and this top water scene, a rubber grasshopper or something on like a 4-weight fly rod is a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and in fact, hopefully here in the next episode or two, we're going to have a guest on. Roger Mackey's a local fisherman legend in the area that I'm at, and he is come into his own when we're talking about warm water fly fishing. So I'm excited about that.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm very excited to meet Mr. Roger and talk all the things. Yeah. Fly fishing has been something that's been on my, I guess you could say, bucket list and things I want to take up and really just excel with it. I've got that personality where if I'm going to do it, I'm going to really do it. Mm-hmm. And there's actually at WSU, there's like an additional course, I guess you could say, that's taught by the Flatland Fly Fisher Group here in town. Nice. There you can go and like learn the history of fly fishing, how to tie ties, you know, the techniques. And then there's an additional course later in time where you actually go out. And so that's been kind of on my radar to do. So it'll be really cool to hear what Roger has all to say about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, lots of fishing for me lately. And in fact, I just finished up, submitted an article that I think is going to be in the next Kansas Department Wildlife and Parks magazine. Just throw in a plug for them. If you're not taking the magazine, you should be. It's a great publication. It's the perfect size. So if you're going to buy somebody a gift, birthday, Christmas, whatever it is for your outdoorsman or woman, it fits every time.
Yeah.
So, submitted an article that all around setting trot lines and bank lines for catfish and actually jug fishing. A lot of states in the Great Plains, jug fishing is allowed, and Kansas is in the third year of a 3-year trial when it comes to jug fishing. And my opinion is, I think it's going to stay. There's certain waters in Kansas that jug fishing is currently allowed. You have to buy a stamp. And there's a few things. You can't use an empty jug. It has to be a solid, you know, like foam, wood, something. They're mostly concerned about the transfer of zebra mussels, nuisance species kind of thing. So your jug has to be something that floats, but doesn't hold water. So
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, pool noodles with a wooden dowel or pool noodles with a PVC pipe that's filled with like the great stuff foam or a solid fiberglass or plastic rod or something in the middle of it. Just something that, you know, when you take it out of the water and throw it in the boat, it's going to dry out pretty quickly and not hold a bunch of water.
Yeah,
that's really the idea. So check that out when it when the magazine comes out.
Those do make great birthday gifts and things like that. I just purchased one for my nephew for his birthday.
Nice.
He's going to be the future mediator, he tells me. So
okay, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
he loves all the things that have to do with wildlife. So
very cool. Yeah, I've been seeing, I don't know what your social media feed looks like, but mine has been a lot of catfish tournaments.
Yes.
So that's always fun.
Seen lots of big catfish pictures as of lately.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that time of year, you know, from now till October, the blue cats, the channel cats, the flatheads, they're on feed. So if you've got time, if you don't mind mosquitoes,
yep,
get out there and try and get some big old catfish.
And at this rate, right, it's Kansas. Mosquitoes are everywhere anyway.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, you know,
you might as well have a fishing pole in your hand.
Yeah, take the citronella candle if you're fishing at night, or try and pick an evening that's got a little bit of a breeze, you know. Yeah, some of the reservoirs have been letting water out. I know we were ahead on rain in Kansas at least, and now we're kind of behind a little bit. You know, that's always something to keep an eye on if you're a cat fisherman, where water's being let out, because that outlet, if the water is going up, then your hook should be going in the water. That's, they're going to be on the feed.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's smart. That's real smart.
So, I have been seeing, sticking with fishing, I have been seeing some guys catching walleye and sauger. Saw guy probably is what they are. They're probably the hybrids that the state is putting in different lakes and reservoirs. Mostly, I think right now, there's a lot of guys that are trolling, you know, getting out there early, trolling crankbaits and stuff. There's probably some night crawlers on jig heads. A lot of that is guys using maybe even a floating jig head. So using a weight and then dropping behind that and getting that night crawler up off the bottom a little bit.
Yeah.
That walleye bite, I don't know. I've never been too big of a walleye fisherman. I enjoy the springtime walleye bite. When it gets later in the season like this, they're pretty finicky and they don't hit hard. I'm not saying they can't, but in general, they're pretty picky and they're
kind of rolling your dice.
Yeah, they're kind of delicate on the bite. And, they're amazing table fare, but it gets hot weather. I'm usually after some of those largemouth panfish, catfish. Yeah.
It's funny, you can almost tell the turn of the seasons how, you know, us Midwesterns talk, right? Man, I'd wish I was out on the water with a fishing pole right now, or it'd be a good evening to be fishing. And I've been hearing a lot of that as of lately. So I think it's in the air, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and in fact, I just got an assignment talking about the change of seasons, right? To start writing some articles about the early teal season in September. Yeah. So
that's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, we'll have the early teal duck season and the early prairie chicken season. Man, they're just around the corner. So.
Yep. And, you know, Kansas especially, and I'm sure in these, a lot of these other states surrounding us too, have those special youth seasons too, is where some of those line up back to back to back. So we'll have to slate some time to talk more about teal and prairie chicken seasons as they come up.
Yeah, it's going to get busy.
Yes. Yes.
I love it when that time of year comes around, man. It's just, there's always something right on the horizon to look forward to.
It's a different kind of busy.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree. I always tell people like, September through May is just kind of crazy for you guys. I was like, yeah, but it's pretty predictable. You can kind of forecast pretty quickly and plan and hit the ground running. Whereas, you know, these summer months are the harder months to kind of plan and get through.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what's going on right now with me and I think the outdoors. So just one more time for the listeners. What does the Great Plains Outdoor Podcast, what do we got on the slate for the next few episodes?
We've got Mr. Roger coming up. He's going to be talking all things fishing. Hopefully he'll be our, what, maybe 2-3 episodes down the lane here. And then we've got Mr. Gabe Thurman coming on and talking all about squirrel hunting with us.
I'm excited. We need to get in there some warm water crappie patterns. You know, I've been a crappie fisherman for a long time, and that's some kind of voodoo. It's this tricky thing where the crappie get suspended and find them in 20 or 30 foot of water, but they're 12 foot deep. Mm-hmm. You know, so trying to figure all that out.
It's a science.
Yeah.
Someone should write a book about that.
Yeah. I think maybe it's been written and then revised and then revised.
Right? And then burned and then revised again. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So we'll be trying to find the right guest on to talk about some things like that.
Yeah. And if you're listening in and you want to be a guest, give us a shout. We'd love to have you on and hear about where you're from and, you know, what your specialty is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brittany, thanks for joining in, and man, we finally got our schedules to line up, and I'm excited.
Thank
for
goodness.
I'm excited for our next several episodes. I think they're gonna be fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm re-energized by this. This is gonna be a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys all for tuning in to the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
All right, see you, Brittany.
See you, Rob.